Well, I'm just going to continue on. I've been doing this for about since last year now. It's been the transformation series is what I've been calling it. And I probably should have done this at the beginning, but I want to do this now to kind of to give you a visual of what I mean by transformation. So let me get Pastor Kurt up here. He's one of my favorites to get up here. I'm not going to give you $100. I'm sorry. No. You know, I'm sorry. That was another transformation series. not 200 either, brother. Sorry. There was one I gave $100 because I felt the Lord prompting me to give that. So, sorry. It's not going to be this time. Okay. So, I'm sorry. But
I really feel the Lord prompting you.
He's like, all right. So, oh, man. I mean, yes. So, in this transformation series, this is what we want to do. I want to have you stand right there. And I want you to stand still. Stand firm. So in transformation, what can happen when things, like when I'm giving messages, when leadership is going, you know, we're going in a certain direction, this is how it can feel like. It can feel like we're trying to push you in that direction. And as you know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. Isn't that true? Yeah. Yeah. You can lead a husband to marriage, but you can't make him communicate. I mean, come on. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. I got some people on that one. Oh, goodness. Oh, whoa. Didn't know you were going there, Pastor Van. Oh, shoot. So, yeah. So, transformation is not this. This is not what we call transformation. This can be manipulation. This can be control. This can be condemnation. That is not transformation. That's not what we're about. What we're about in transformation is joining arms and let's step forward. That's transformation. We represent the Lord. No, I'm just kidding. That's what transformation is, though. We are joining arms together, and that's what I'm doing with us, with you guys here. I want to help us all because I need it. I haven't arrived yet. What God has given me, I'm giving out, but I get to go through that before you guys get to go through this message. God's been dealing with me on this all week long, and so He's like preparing me, hey, let's go. So when I get up here and I preach and I share what God's given me, I want to say, hey, let's join arms, let's go forward. But the thing is, transformation is just not me and Pastor Kurt. Then all of a sudden, Pastor Kurt's area of influence affects him. So come on up, Andrew. Pastor Kurt then says, I want to see what God has done to me. Oh, yeah, it's going to be bad. The camera, I feel sorry for Pastor Steve on that. He's like, oh, Facebook is just going to be so different today. So, yeah. So then Pastor Kurt says, hey, gets with his son. We're going to lock arms, and we're going to move forward. So one step forward, gentlemen. Transformation. It's not just me. It's my area of influence. Thank you, gentlemen. It's not just me and my area of influence. It's me promoting transformation, and then my area of influence is transforming other people as well. And it's not something I'm doing. It's something God is doing in me and through me so that transformation automatically happens if we're willing to let Him do it. That's what I'm talking about, transformation. I want to see us all, and then Pastor Kurt, myself, Andrew, then we get Pastor Steve on board, we start getting everyone, and then the whole church is starting to lock arms together and moving forward. Because how many people outside of this church need to hear what God has for them? How many people's lives can you change outside of here? Because let's just face it, all of our friends and family aren't here at church. That's true. No doubt about that. There's some people we're like, they need to go to church. Some people are like, woo, they need Jesus. And it's true. But Lord wants to deal with us, wants to help us move forward in that transformation so we can affect those around us. And that's what we're doing. That's what the transformation series is all about, is us locking arms together. Hey, let's do this. Let's move forward and see God do great things. Because this body is going to be very busy in the coming years. It's been busy before, but I believe in the coming years, this needs to be a healthy body because we're going to be getting a lot of visitors, a lot of out-of-towners, and God wants to use you to affect their lives when they're in this house. And God wants to use you to affect your area of influence where you haven't been able to go there before. He's going to give you open doors to really influence people's lives. He's really going to start doing that. And that means family, friends, job, and things like that. He's wanting to move in that realm. But we have to let Him. We have to let God do what He wants to do in us first. Because how many of you know we can't pick the speck out of my brother's eye if I got a log of my own? I can't help the other person if I'm struggling so bad and I got so much overwhelming things going on that I can't even see Jesus from anything else for my problems. We can't be a light and a witness. We have to be healthy. Not meaning we're going to be perfect, but we have to be healthy and let God do great things. So I just want to let everyone know a little plug about Encounter Night. It's this Thursday at 7 p.m. Be there. It's just a time to come out, worship the Lord together, to lock arms and say, hey, we're going after Jesus. That's all it is. 7 o'clock is what it is. So we've got a wonderful worship leader going to be leading live worship there. So it's going to be great. It's going to be my wife. So I'm very happy that she's going to get the opportunity to do that. And we've been having a lot more live worship. We got a lot of things going on. And so I want to encourage you guys, come on out Thursday. It's usually twice a month, but it'll be this Thursday. Come on out 7 p.m. and be a part of what God wants to do. So as I was praying for this message today, God gave me a dream. How many of you know dreams can be a little scary? You're like, oh, Jesus, I'm glad that dream didn't come true. Or like, it's, oh, I wish that dream would have came true. Woo! You know, sometimes it can be a little scary. But I had this dream about I was on this bus. I couldn't tell. I don't know if it was a bus or a canoe. I don't know what it was. It's kind of weird. You know how dreams are a little strange sometimes? They're just a little strange. It's like, okay. I don't know, but I was surrounded by a lot of people. And that's what I did know. And all the people around me were sick. They were all sick. They all had different diseases, different things going on. And in my dream, I'm like, man, I'm surrounded by sick people. What is going on with this? I'm like, I don't know about this, Lord. I mean, it's like, what is, I mean, all everyone around me is sick. I mean, there's different ages for everyone. There's older and more mature, and there's younger as well. And I'm like, Lord, what is going on? And then I'm like, and then this thought pops in my mind while I'm dreaming, and I'm like, well, what are you going to do about it? I don't know. What am I going to do about it? I'm thinking in my dream. I'm like, what am I going to do? I don't know. And then I felt the urge of the Holy Spirit in that dream. And then I start praying. And then I start seeing healings. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. That's good. And then I woke and I was like, God, this is what was for me. I know you gave me this dream. And I want to see that happen in my life more and more. And I want to encourage you, this wasn't just a dream for me, this was supposed to be shared through this body. There are sick people around us that we can see healed in Jesus' name. Not just physically, not just emotionally, not just financially. We can see them healed in all those areas. Mental sickness, all those things. Emotional damage, all those things. We can see people healed and set free. Amazing things that God can do. But the one thing is, you have to be willing to step out. And that's hard. Oh, I don't know about stepping out, brother. I'm an introvert. I don't step out for anything. I mean, if there is a corner in the back corner, in the shadows, that's where I am. I am right there. I don't step out for nothing or no one. Let me tell you one thing. The disciples were introverts too. They were just fishermen. And if you ever been around fishermen, I'm talking like commercial fishermen, they are not so nice and pleasant. I mean, have you seen some of the fishing shows? I'm not talking like the Bassmasters Classic where they're all nice and pristine and they're all going out, you know. I'm talking about actual fishermen, the men that just to the grind every day. They're not as nice and pleasant as we think the disciples were. They're not. They're not. But God used them to change the world. And God can use you to do the same thing. Whether you're an introvert, extrovert, omnivert, you know, however you want to put it. You like that, didn't you, Frank? That's good. So, yeah. So, God wants to use you to touch people. And He wants you to step out. So, one of the things about stepping out is knowing who you are in Christ. And I'm so happy I get to introduce this because in April, if I'm correct, there's going to be a series that we're doing on Wednesday nights saying your identity in Christ. And I would love for people to come out and experience that. Because if you know who you are, that makes it easier to do what you need to do. If a duck doesn't know it's a duck, it's not going to like water. I mean, true? I mean, if a duck thinks it's a dog, it's going to try to bark, but it's going to quack. Isn't that true? You know? If a mouse thinks he's an elephant, you know, he's going to try and stomp around, but he's going to get stomped on, you know? I'm just saying, we have to realize who we are in Christ. And there's so much potential that we can go into. There's so much potential that we have, but we believe lies. Because life is tough, isn't it? Life is tough at times. Sometimes it's wonderful. Sometimes it's great. Yes, we love life. Yes. Sometimes, not so much. Not so much, it's tough. And so God wants to show us who He thinks of us and who we are in Him. So that's going to be happening. When is that happening? In April?
Yeah, the first, real quick, let me know today.
All right, thanks, Pastor Kurt. Thanks. Isn't that nice? Isn't that a nice little segue into that? Isn't God good sometimes? He just makes it, just flows right in that. It's so good. Yeah. So good. Amen. Well, I mean, He's God. So, I mean, come on. I mean, really, if it's really God, I mean, He really is good. I mean, it's not like it should surprise us like it does. We're like, oh, wow, God moved. Well, He is God. I mean, He does things, you know. It's just funny how we think that sometimes. One of the things I want to say is how you see yourself mirrors how you see God. How you see yourself mirrors how you see God. If you see yourself as a small person, as not a very impactful person, if you see yourself as like, I don't know, whatever I could do, you're going to put God in a box, and that's all He's going to be to you. But when you realize your identity in Christ, you realize who God's called you to be, who you are in Him, and see how much great things He has, and living in God-confidence, not confidence, God-fidence, living in Him, then you're like, wow, there's something different. There's something different. And you can get rid of all those lies, all that junk, and say, yes, I can live for Him. Then your picture of the Lord becomes way larger. Isn't that right, Mike? It's so much larger. And then He starts stretching you, and you're like, yes, I see the stretching. I see Him even bigger than before. Did you know? You can find that part. Did you know that God has thoughts of you? And they are, it says in Psalm 139, 17 through 19, how precious are your thoughts, O God? How vast is the sum of them? Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I'm still with you. That's what it says. God's thoughts of us. Did you know that there are 5 sextillion grains of sand in the earth? Sextillion. That means 21 zeros behind the 5. That's a large number, isn't it? That's a big number. God thinks and has those thoughts of you. Think about that for a second. 5 sextillion thoughts about you. That's a lot. That'll change some of your thinking. That should change some of your thinking because God loves you. God wants great things for you. And if He didn't, He wouldn't say it in Psalms. 5 sextillion. That's how many good thoughts God has of you. He wants you. He wants to prove Himself to you. He wants to show Himself to you in an awesome way. But we have to be willing. Did you also know, just continuing on the segment of us knowing who we are in Christ, did you know that 93% of households that the father gets saved, the whole family gets saved? Did you know that? 93%. So if you have a father that doesn't believe that God is who He says He is, that hurts the family. I'm not saying this to condemn anyone. I'm not saying that, you know. I'm just saying that there is power in seeing who you are in Christ. And especially with husbands and fathers. 93% of the family will follow being a Christian if the father gets saved. Come on, men. Come on, men. We got to make sure we know who we are in Christ. We got to make sure we know our identity in Him. So I'm going to turn my text. That stuff was all good. Let's turn our text, 1 Samuel 17. And we're going to talk about knowing who we are in Christ and stepping out. So 1 Samuel 17. Some of you know this story very well. You're like, man, you like this story. I'm like, yes, I like this story. I like David. David is, me and him connect. I see a lot of myself in him. I'm like, yes, I like David. Not everything. But I like David. He is one of my favorite characters in the Bible. Favorite people. And the Lord was showing me this. So we'll read in 1 Samuel 17, 8 through 11. So Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not the servants of Saul?" I love how he puts it, servants of Saul. He puts it manly. He doesn't say God or anything like that. He says man, because that's where his thinking is. "Choose a man and you will have him come to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcame him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." Then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the armies of Israel." Still saying man, not God or anything like that. "Give me a man and let us fight each other." On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all of his Israelites were dismayed and terrified. I mean, we know about Goliath. I mean, come on. We know it from Sunday school. We know it from different things. Big guy. Giant of a guy. Huge. Muscles upon muscles. Could lift massive amounts of weight. Massive guy in Israel. Saul was taller. He was a head above. He was a head taller above all the army, but still was no match up to Goliath. I find it interesting. One of the things I want to highlight here is that on verse 11, on hearing the Philistines' words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. And I'm thinking to myself, why were they terrified? And if I go back a little bit, I realize that Saul was without the Lord. That he was tormented. And when you're without the Lord, you see things in a different light than you do when you are. Things that would be like, oh, this is so much going on. I don't know what to do. Because you don't have your eyes on Jesus, because you don't have your eyes on the Lord, you're not walking in relationship with Him, you can become terrified of that, the situations and circumstances around you. You can. It shows it right here. But let me tell you something. Even though Israel was terrified, Saul was terrified of this one man coming against them, the Lord has an ace up His sleeve, as always. Doesn't He? The Lord always has a remnant. The Lord has always made a way for something to happen, for victory to become. And so we read on. David. So I'm going to read in 1 Samuel 17, 28 to 30. David gets sent up to help out his brothers. And in verse 28, when Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, and he was talking about things going on. He's like, so what's going on with this Philistine guy? What's happening with him? So he's getting kind of like, hey, what's going on? I hear this big guy is shouting everything. Like, oh, what's going on? Speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and said, why have you come here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? This is his brother. His brother's attacking him straight up. He does not like him. Why have you come down here? And whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came here only to watch the battle. Pretty much his brother saying that, I know how evil you are, even though you are anointed king and I wasn't. I know how your heart is conceited, even though you're in the fields all the time and I'm no longer with you. I don't spend any time with you. I'm trolling you because I'm dismayed in myself, is what he's really saying. Now, what have I done, said David. Can't I even speak? He then turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter, and the man answered him as before. When we're going through a hard time, when things are going on, how many of you know there's going to be people like Eliab who might have been close to us at one time or maybe close to us now that only speak death to us? They only speak destruction to us. They don't bring life. They bring darkness. They bring you like, hey, you remember this, what you did. This is who you are. This, you'll never be any better. This is what you'll always become. You can never change who you are. That's how some people are. And I love it because at Elam, where I went to Bible school, there was a Professor Hugh that was there. And he said this really easy remark. But it's very true. He says that hurt people hurt people. I'm like, you think about it, like, okay. But it does signify that. People hurt people because they're hurting. And it's hard because, you know, they might be close to us, they might not be close to us, or they might just be some person on the internet. Now, there might be a lot of people I get from, like, maybe from Facebook that might not like my message today. It's like, Pastor Van, you just did not deliver that message at all today. It was horrible, you know. It was off camera, all these other things. Let me say, Van, you are not a good preacher at all. You just go back to your house, maybe work on it for like 5 or 6 years, and then maybe then you could be, you know, a good preacher. Maybe then you could, you know, because I mean the Spirit was leading today. You didn't really do a good job in the Spirit, you know. You really should maybe reconsider being in ministry. Maybe you should just do something else. That's not what the Lord's saying at all. But if I believe that lie, then I will forever live in that cage. And I won't be able to accept what God has to say to me. If I believe that lie of what they're saying, then I will forever live in that cage. But how many of you know God didn't call us to live in a cage, did he? He did not. He said, no, I called you to be live. And to have life and life more abundantly. I've called you to be free. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. He's calling us to go forward. Not to live in a cage. He's calling us to mount with wings as eagles. Called us to run and not grow weary. That's what he's called us to do. But yet if David had said, well, brother, you're right. You're right. I mean, I got a few sheep out there. I mean, I am conceited. I just don't know what to do. I mean, I'm sorry, brother. I'm sorry. I'm just here to make peace. And like, you're right. You're right. I'll just go back home and, you know, that's it. Wouldn't it have been a different result in the story of David and Goliath? It had been David goes home. That would have been the sir. That would have been it. And that probably wouldn't have been recorded in the Bible then either. But how many of you know that David was like, he got away from it. He's like, you know what you're saying, I don't believe, I don't receive. I'm going to someone else to find out what's going on. And sometimes we have to do that. We have to say, nope, I've tuned you out because you are speaking death and destruction over my life. I've tuned you out. I'm not listening to that because you're hurt. And the great part is this, when we become more mature, we start seeing that, hey, you're actually hurt for saying the things that you are. Let's talk about what Jesus can do in your life. Let's turn it around. Let's see what God can really do in your life. Because you're spewing all this stuff because of something that God has not done in your life that you were expecting, or the disappointment that you have from something that happened for you long ago. That's when you're starting to work in power. That's when you're like, all right, God, show me people where they really are so that I can minister to them. That's when you know you're starting to go walk in maturity. There are a lot of reasons that we don't step out. You know, there's a lot of reasons we just kind of give into those things. Some of them are fear. Some of them are people. You know, I don't want to upset people. People are scary. We don't want to rock the boat, you know. You don't want to be strange at work or be rejected. And it's true, we all are like that. But how many of you know if we just stand where we are, we won't be able to see the victory? If we stand trembling at the giants that come to us in life, the situations that are big, and we're like, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't think it's going to end well. We're just going to stay in that muck, stay in that situation forever. Instead of being like David's and going out and saying, hey, I'm not accepting this. My God is bigger than my situation. And going forward. Fear can hold you back. Don't let it do it. And when you spend more time with the Father, you realize you start to mirror Him. When you spend more time with God, you realize you more mirror with Him. Come on, somebody. Spending time. It's about spending time with Jesus. It's not getting this whole traditional thing. I mean, tradition has its place, but it's not giving this whole religious tradition thing. Like, I must do this, this, and this, and this. And it becomes a checklist instead of a relationship. It becomes a formality than functioning with Jesus. It becomes just blah instead of life-giving. You can have a relationship with Jesus that's so vibrant that you're like, I can't wait to get into His presence. I just can't wait. That you will go to bed at night and be like, I can't wait to get into His presence today because He's so good, it's going to happen, and things are going to happen greatly in my life when I do. You can get there. And you can stay there. And I pray that everyone does. Because how many of you know it's your life is definitely different when you're in His presence than when you're not? So what I'm calling you today is, are we going to be simple-minded, fear and trembling people? Like it said in verse 11, Saul and the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Are we going to stay dismayed and terrified when giants come into our lives, when situations happen? Or are we going to be like David's and we're going to slay some giants? That we're going to take back things from the kingdom of heaven? That we're going to move mightily in our families and our jobs and our places of work? That we are going to do great things and not be dismayed or terrified? That we're going to not believe the people that were trying to lie to us? They tried to bring us down, because people love to bring people down. Have you ever seen that? Have you seen that? I mean, just go on Facebook. I mean, it gets real there, man. Or Twitter. You can go either one, or TikTok. You can just go right there. You see someone says something like, oh, that's so horrible. You get like 15,000 followers like, oh, that's so bad. They agree with you, and then you find out they find something else about you, and they're like, oh, you should have done this and that stuff. And they put you in a box. They're like, you'll be, and this is who you are now. Because they said it was, so that's who I am. That's my identity now. But that's not who your identity is. Your identity is in Him. And when your identity is in Him, it doesn't matter what anyone else says. It doesn't matter at all. Because you're like, yes, I know who I am in Christ. I know I'm a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. I am saved by His grace and by His blood. I don't have to live the same way I did before. I don't have to act the same way I did before. I don't have to react the same way I did before with situations, problems, and trials. I can act a new way because I live with Him and He lives in me. And it doesn't matter whom says what or what the enemy tries to do. I knew who I am in Christ, and I will give Him all the glory because He's so good. You can live like that. Let's just close our eyes for a minute. I'm going to end here. Thank you, Father. Let's just close our eyes for just a moment. I just want you to just think back on what that was shared today. There's a lot of good nuggets, a lot of good things that God said today. Some things will be more relevant to you than others, and that's okay. God will highlight the things that are really important, because He always does. Just want you to think about what God's been saying to you today through me, about what you're believing, about maybe who's in your life that's not speaking life to you, that's speaking death and destruction to you. Or maybe what giants are in your life. You're like, Lord, I've just been trembling. I've just been dismayed. I just don't know what to do. Or maybe it's like, I need to move forward. I really need to move forward. I just need to get in His presence and spend some time with Him. Because that's where my source is. That's where the good stuff is right there. That I can see correctly because I've been with Him. Or maybe, like Pastor Steve said, you accepted Jesus for the first time today. You're like, this is all very new. I never knew that this stuff could be this way. I never knew I could live life like this. It's so exciting. It's so different. God has a plan and a purpose and a place for every one of us here. He has a destiny for every one of us. And destiny isn't just a goal. It can be a person, place, or thing that God wants us to accomplish in us. But the very first step, before we get into any of that, the very first step is having our relationship right with Him. Before we can slay giants, before we can turn off the other people that are speaking those words, we have to spend time with Him. We have to get our relationship with Him right. So, Father, right now, as we're just here today, and we just want to be in Your presence today, so thankful that You did such great things in us today. So thankful that You shared with us through me today about what You want to do in our hearts and transformation in our lives. Lord, we just thank You right now. And we give You permission to partner with You. We give You permission to come more into our lives. We give You permission because we want a relationship with You, Father. We don't want just You up there in the sky somewhere, somehow. You're up there way far from us. Lord, we want You here with us, where we can sense You, where we can touch You, where we can feel Your presence, where we believe in our hearts and we know it to be true, and You showing it to us every day. We want to have a relationship with the all-living God, the Almighty God, the one God above any other little gods, any other little things. The one true God that sent Your Son to die on a cross for our sins so we could have relationship and reconciliation with You. So we don't have to live in a separated world from You, Father. We can live together in this world and for all eternity. Lord, we just invite You right now into our hearts, into our lives, oh God. We need You. And we have others around us that need You more. Lord, help us and transform us to reach them just like You've touched us. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. You're so good. You're so good. We worship You, O God. We worship You. Thank You, God. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Lord. I'm just going to give you the next 2 or 3 minutes. You can sit down, just relax, just keep your eyes closed, keep your mind focused on Him. Just keep your minds focused on Him. There's no kids, so don't have to worry about those distractions. We love them, but they can be distracting. Just let Him speak to you. Let Him talk to you a little bit. Speak and talk to Him for a little bit. I'm going to put on a song just for the next few minutes. Don't worry about the words. Don't worry about any of that stuff. It's just going to be some background music. And I just want you to talk to him and have a relationship with him.